Okay. And who else is on the line?
This is Erica Lewis.
Erica?
Yes.
Lewis?
Yes.
Okay. And what city are you in?
I'm in Sherman Oaks, and Kurt and I met you at the Ventura workshop.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for being here.
Sure.
Marlene.
Yes.
You were on last night, weren't you?
Right. That was my first time joining last night.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you for coming in. On Mondays, we're doing something, and I'll just say this because there's people listening. We're actually on streaming audio on the Internet on BBS Radio. So the call's being projected live around the world. And so anything you guys say, realize that we're holding a light energy for many more people than are just on the call. And I thank you for being here. My name is Lynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, Lynn. It's Jackie in San Diego.
Hi, Jackie. And anyone else?
This is Diane in Mountain View.
Diane?
And yes.
Where's Leslie?
He'll be calling in on his ride home.
Okay. Diane, you didn't hear the Don and Wynn show last Saturday, did you?
No, but I heard the news, and I've been, totally just blowing my mind over it.
What was the news?
About the, about bok choy.
Oh, bok choy, right. Mm-hmm. Remind me, you should listen to the archive of that show. And
I will.
Because we had bok choy the dolphin answering questions.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
He's an old friend of mine.
He's an old friend of Terry's, right?
Yeah. Okay. He told Daphne quite a long time ago that he's been trying to contact me and he hadn't been able to.
For those of you that are listening on the Internet streaming audio and wonder what's going on, we're just a bunch of wackos. So just listen in and see what you get out of it. We're a bunch of crazy wackos. So, my name is Lynn. I heard someone else on there. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, Veronica.
Hi, Denise.
Hi.
Denise in San Francisco.
Well, actually, I'm in Detroit, but
You're in Detroit.
I'm not going to be able to stay on. My phone's going dead, but I wanted to try to call in, but I think I'm going to lose it. But I'll be thinking of you, okay?
Hey, listen, do you have your Internet? We're on the Internet tonight.
Yeah, I don't have access to that. So
I'll
keep you in my thoughts, okay?
All right. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, take care.
Is there someone else that checked in?
Wesley from Mountain View's here.
Hi, Wesley.
Brian from Los Angeles.
And Brian from L.A. And who else?
Veronica in Colorado.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi, Lynn.
And anyone else?
Marianne and Gary, San Diego.
Hi, Marianne and Gary. By the way, I meant to thank you for your guys' pictures. You guys sent me pictures of yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Anyone else on the line? Hello, hello, hello. Okay. So, let me see here. My name is Lynn Free. I'm going to mute everybody. Let's see. We are now muted. And just to do a little bit of an introduction, keeping in mind that tonight our conference call is being broadcast live on the Internet. All over the world. That doesn't mean that anybody's listening, but in case they are, I'm going to explain what's going on. Somebody who's checked in as a moderator is making noise in the background. Does anyone know who they are? Try to keep it down. Just I hear background noises. Star 6, even if you're a moderator, we'll close you down. Okay. So, I am the author, the principal author of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And that book introduces a group soul that identifies itself as the Ra group, or the Ra social memory complex, which had been very influential in the evolution of mankind from a spiritual perspective. And 2 years into writing the book, I ended up having direct communications with these various group energies. They identified themselves as group energies on the other side. And of course, when you're having communication, when people are speaking to you with voices, there's always a question about who's really talking and can you trust it, and how are you supposed to use this for the benefit of others if in fact you are. And as I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I was realizing that there was a phenomenal source of wisdom, and people that have read my book, which is now on the market, have had amazing, amazing growth as a result of just reading the book. And there's understandings presented in the book for this period that we're moving through right now, which is called a dimensional shift. And it's the end of a 75,000-year cycle. And this is a period that is not really a way that a human could figure out what the significance of this period is from their own intelligent or scientific viewpoint of the world. Although, when you do understand it, you end up seeing how many other things make sense, including Jesus, including religion, including soul evolution, and it does make sense. And so it's called a dimensional shift, and it has to do with this upgrade of energy that our entire solar system is going through, which one of the symptoms of that are the weather changes on the Earth, the temperature changes, the solar flares, and scientifically, through our entire solar system, there are changes on every single planet that have never happened before in the recorded history of mankind. And so this dimensional shift is going to have a very significant impact on each of us, not only in this life, but if you happen to believe in future lives, on our future lives. And it's something that reading my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, will help you understand the nature of these changes. The purpose of this conference, Paul, is not to go through all of that, but for those of you that are tuning in for the first time, I'm just urging you to clue yourself in, because if it's right, if I'm right, if these voices are right that are communicating, then this will be the next 3, 4, 5 years will be the most important period, not only in this lifetime, but perhaps many, many lifetimes. And so what we do on these Monday nights is we present actually a message from these sources on the other side. Hello?
Hello.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, just because I wasn't sure if we got disconnected. Okay. We present messages from these sources on the other side. And when we present these messages, we've done it in three different ways. One of them is through a reading of a transcript of one of the channelings. Another one is we play tapes of the channelings. Another one is occasionally we have had live channelings right on this line, depending on the circumstances. Now, one of the groups that has been communicating to me, and they've communicated to me through two different personal relationships that spontaneously started to speak to me and said to ask them questions. It's always been a format where I ask questions and they give answers. There's a group that identifies themselves as the Council of Elohim. The Council of Elohim is a, and I say identifies themselves because I can't prove this. I think I've got it right, but I tell everyone to study this material and come to their own conclusions. I can tell you what they say, and they say that they are a group soul energy that is part of the original creation of the physical universe. And they exist outside of time, and they can beam into time, and they can beam into our realm, and we experience them when they beam into this realm as light energy, as a vibration. Now, when we've done this conference call, many, many times people have had that experience. Hang on a second. I'm just going to try to mute everybody. Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
Hello.
I'm not muting people, so just keep your own sound down.
You want me to try it when?
Well, if you, you might mute me because maybe I forgot to check in as a moderator.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought I did. So just those of you listening all over the world, we're doing a trial run tonight. We're getting our act together, so just be patient. We actually have really live people on this line
yeah.
that have been checking in for quite some time. And so just continuing, the Elohim claim to be able to beam into this realm from outside of this realm, and that many of the people that are on this conference line have had some kind of personal experience of either feeling their vibration, going through some kind of personal growth and changing their relationships with other people, having a healing for themselves or someone else. And so if you happen to be listening anywhere in the world, you might consider that while you're listening to my voice, simultaneously this group soul may be paying attention to you. When I started the conference call, I asked and I said, would you pay attention to the people on the conference call and the system if their intent was high, would you pay attention to them and help them? And they said they would. Also, another thing they said was by being on this call, we were giving them more permission to do interventions in this realm and uplift this realm. Imagine that their energy streaming in, and wherever you are on the planet, you are, if you're open, you're open to the receiving of those vibrations. Now, I should say there's two group souls that are major group souls that impact our planet, and one is the Elohim, and the other is the Ra group. And the Ra group is who, to the best of my understanding, was speaking through Edgar Cayce and David Wilcock in present time. The Ra group is composed of individual souls that have gone through the wheel of reincarnation and have graduated from the physical realm, not only from this planet, but from many planets all through the universe. And they consist of billions of individual souls that flow within the realm. This is my own way of understanding it. I don't know if I have it exactly right, but just to visualize it, They are inside our universe, flowing as part of it, and the Elohim is outside of it, beaming into it. Both group souls have said they'd be on the line. So as we go through this next period of time, you just might be very, very sensitive to the vibrations in your space, the energies in your space, and notice any changes. Sometimes people may not notice it the first time. They may have to check in 4 or 5 times. And I recommend, if it all hangs true, to, you know, not make a quick evaluation, but to check it out for a while, because the evidence is that it's true. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a question and answer session on the Elohim that was done probably in the last 7 months, where I asked them and talked to them about prayer and how prayer works. And they're telling me that in these conversations, we are bringing through a perspective and information that has never, ever been brought forth in this kind of clarity in this realm. And I asked the question, I'll just go read it now. How does prayer work? Prayer is effective to the degree of intention of the individual making the prayer. Since form and life are held together by intentions, prayer may intersect those intentions and reinforce those intentions towards life and healing. In this manner, even a negative prayer, or a prayer from a service to self source with the intent of control, which might be called a curse, this kind of prayer may also affect the intentions holding life together and create a destructive influence. The degree of passion behind the prayer, the degree of intention behind the prayer, is directly proportionate to the degree of effectiveness of the prayer. This is because form, subform, and precursor forms are based on intentions and can be affected by other intentions. When? Does a human tap into their sub-god abilities to create from their higher realms when they successfully pray? Or are the prayers connected with other entities and groups, like the Elohim, that participate in the execution of the desired result? Elohim. When a person prays, he is tapping into his sub-god abilities for creation with intention. When he prays for the assistance of a creator god, such as the Elohim, he adds great intense power and wisdom beyond his belief to his prayer. He gives his prayer wings. If a person prays a black witch harmful prayer, a surface to self prayer, he may not get much assistance in the fruition of his prayer from the Elohim or the Ra group. It boils down to mathematical equations, with the variables being the passion that he prays with, the power of his intention, the joining of other humans in consensus reality into backing or non-backing of the prayer, and the assistance of the Elohim and or Ra or other high force in bringing about the successful result of his prayer. When a person prays, are they creating anchor points and energy in the same way that the Elohim creates anchor points and energy, so that on some level something can happen originating from another or higher level and manifest into this level? Elohim, no. A human has a myriad of anchor points: his family members, his location, his job location, his car, his city, his country. He has locating and sublocating telescoping of anchor points moving anchor points, changing of relationship of anchor points. He's orienting himself in relationship to his anchor points. When a man prays, he usually prays for an object or an individual person that is an anchor point to him. If he prays for something less tangible, like peace, then his anchor points are more loosely available to attach to the object of his prayer. The man is within time and space and location. The man is within anchor points already. The Elohim are outside of time and location and can project anchor points into time and location. Therefore, the Elohim can create miracles because they are working with the whole of the materials of which creation is made. The man is working within the creation from the materials that have been previously made. The man may change his attitude or the materials he was working with by the nature of his intention. As the man changes his intention, so will creation work with him to help fulfill what he is creating. Therefore, at a lower level, he is affecting creation within the confines of his universe. Since he orients himself in his universe by his anchor points, he is subject to those anchor points. The Elohim is not subject to anchor points, but they can work with them as building blocks or particles or non-particles. The Elohim are creators. The man is more of a builder. Do you have further questions? When you have someone like Jesus in this realm, was he more of a creator, or was he somewhere between a builder or a creator? Elohim. Jesus was able to move in and out of creation and be in one realm or the other. He would be able to step out of creation and work with it from a master's viewpoint. He was able to step back into creation and do carpentry. Since Jesus said we had the potential to do the same things that he could do, then I assume it is possible for a human to create from the same place as Jesus. Is that correct? Elohim, yes. If a human can step out of their anchor points, they have the potential to create from outside of a creation. I would like to understand anchor points better. It seems as if we've used anchor points in two different ways. In one way, we've talked about someone in the world having their anchor points in a worldly sense, their familiar things. Perhaps the way they ground themselves would be through their anchor points. Is that correct? Elohim. That's well put. It's the way they orient themselves. But there was another way that the word anchor points was used by the Elohim, where it was talked about in the origination of creation, where there's no location existing yet. The location doesn't exist. And the Elohim put anchor points out and fills them with energy. The meaning of anchor points is not the same meaning as the anchor points that a person uses to ground themselves, is it? Elohim. It is looking at the same creation from two different perspectives, from the top down with the Elohim Creator God and from the bottom up. It's a broader definition of anchor points, expanded from the individual particles of form into the whole groups of form. When the Elohim makes an anchor point to make some kind of original creation, that anchor point is not made of torsion wave radiation or etheric energy, according to the answer of the previous question. Is the anchor point just part of the intention, that it's really nothing, that the intention exists and the energy fills the intention? Is that a way of perceiving it? The intention, Elohim, the intention creates the boundary of which further intentions of spinningness may be bounded by. In other words, the anchor points are unseen extents of the intention within which the spinningness may occur in. Might there be a correlation between anchor points and the word vision? Elohim. Yes, in the sense that a vision is a projection. it's something that needs to be filled with energy in order to manifest. Elohim. We're getting into the hard work aspect of something when we say needs. The creation of Elohim is a flash projection that manifests instantly. When a human does something similar when they have a vision. Of course, it is hard work on the physical realm in most cases to make a vision manifest. Elohim. A vision isn't necessarily hard work, even on the physical realm, but it may be hard work. When? But on the Elohim realm, it isn't hard work to create a vision which creates an outline for something to manifest as it's filled with energy. How does that happen? Elohim. Flash. It's a joy. It's like an artist at work. When? So could you create an orb in our room, like flash? Just, I'm going to make a note here. I was in a room with my friend Terry, and we're having this conversation, and an orb is a way that interdimensional beings communicate into our realm. And oftentimes it's a round circle of etheric energy that people can see. Sometimes they come out on cameras. So I'm asking them if they could create one. And Elohim, Ra is more the creator of orbs that you can see. Who you are talking to now has a very large space. When? I felt the space change in the room when I made the request. Elohim, there was an invisible orb that appeared in the room, but it was so large it encompassed the whole room. That's what you felt. Now, those of you that are listening, keep in mind, this is a side comment, that the Elohim is paying attention, so they say, to this conference call. And as you read this, you may notice, in addition to a cough, a shift in the energy of your space. Just be very quiet, look around you, and feel the space, because they will beam into it if your energy will allow it. So when, now I'm going to go back to the reading, it's still here changing the energy in the space. Elohim. Yes, it is. When? It's a nice feeling. How large is that space? Elohim. It is a space over your house, extending outside of your walls and into the sky. When? When I asked the Elohim to help my sister and she had that healing, how did they implement that energetically? And side comment, my sister had cancer and lupus, and they said they would help her with her cancer. And when she recovered from her cancer operation, her lupus disappeared. And that's something that apparently was impossible. So I asked them, this was a couple of years later from that experience, how did they actually make her lupus go away?
Yeah.
Elohim, first of all, we had to change the factors in her blood. Second of all, you had to cheer her up to allow the changes to occur, and the job is only partway to where she would have glowing health. When? You mean that's a possibility? Elohim, yes. When? What would she have to do to have glowing health? Better interactions, change her diet, more raw food. We do not see her changing without some help, some cheerful calls, some change of attitude on her part. So when you change the blood and the lupus disappeared, did you move into the space of the blood with anchor points and microscopically transform the situation? Elohim, yes, like a great filter, releasing it from her blood. When? Was that an easy process for you to do if the person has the right receptivity? Elohim, yes. When? So that could be done for others also having infirmities? Elohim. Different procedures are for different people, different infirmities. win. What would be the best attitude of a person who wants to receive that kind of help? Elohim. The best attitude would be to pray with all their heart, to open themselves, to listen and look for the love light. Win. Is that an unlimited power the Elohim has, or does it have some limitation? Are there certain infirmities that if a person prayed with all their heart are beyond the scope of healing? Elohim. It is a complex affair. If one could take a measuring stick and measure all the factors involved, then they would be able to come up with the probability of healing. One factor may overbalance another. For example, the stronger the passion, the stronger the intention, the stronger the prayer, the better the contact, the more open the heart, the more the person is willing to drop some bad habits that contribute to the sickness. When you correlate and measure all of these factors plus others, you come up with the probability of the healing. When I sense that someone like Jay, who has polio and can't walk, has this infirmity because it's a balancing of something from another lifetime. If she comes to the point of learning the lesson that that infirmity was meant to bring her, could someone like Jay walk again? Elohim, Jay would need to believe she could walk again, but it's possible. When? Is that something the Elohim could help with? Elohim, our relationship with an individual is a co-creative relationship, and we would need to work with her. When? Is there something I could share with her that would help her in learning how to co-create with you? Elohim, we suggest that Jay sense our love light as she lies in the bed. She senses our love light around her legs and reaches out with the life in her legs to the light of the Elohim. And we will reach back and do this and to do this a little bit every day. Win. Okay, I'll pass that on. That would work probably with anyone's problem, yes? Elohim, yes. Win. So for anyone who's hearing this, that's a way to work on a problem. We're talking about prayers and miracles. There's certain things that happen on this planet that people deem miracles, and I wonder what the source is. Because something is a miracle, or something defies the laws of the physical universe, does that necessarily come from the Elohim or Ra? Or is there another source that it can come from? Elohim, it can also come from somewhere else. When, for example, crop circles in a previous question, the answer was they were being made by orbs from Ra. But sometimes people see an image of Jesus in a window, or a statue that starts to cry, or a crucifix that has blood. Is that the kind of miracle that the higher forces would do on this level? Elohim, it is possible that a higher force may do that. It's also possible that a lower force may do that. You would have to look at the individual circumstance. When? Why would a lower force do that? What would be their intention? Elohim, you would have to look at the individual circumstance to see what the miracle was or the force behind it. You might have divas or other earth spirits or other spirits who are playing this out and creating the effect. When? So if someone wants a miracle, what would be the requisite steps? Elohim, map out the journey from where one is to the result. The miracle one wants to achieve. Picture where you are now. Picture you at the end of the journey with the goal accomplished, the result accomplished. You experience the trip in a nonlinear fashion, encompassing the whole trip. Don't leave out the beginning and say, I am at the end. I am healed. I am rich. Don't leave out the beginning. The trip starts where it starts. Don't leave out the end. The trip ends where it ends. Encompass the trip in a nonlinear fashion. Create an intention encompassing all parts of the trip to the end. One may have been short in time. In experiencing where you are now and where you are going, you may then transmute yourself through the journey to the end. When one is making a trip and going from the beginning to the end, obviously, intention is what carries you from the next to the next to the next. If one is going to make a trip easier, one would have to pick the path where there is the least counterintention for your goals to manifest, right? Elohim. One may even picture the trip without counterintention. One may view the counterintentions as vectors impeding the progress towards the end result. One may map it, catalog it, observe it, note it. Pray that those stops be taken away. We will listen for your prayers. That's the end of that particular chapter, and anyone listening, if they're interested, this is an excerpt from a future book that I'm working on, which right now is called Questions and Answers with the Elohim. And it has things in it like a chapter on earth changes, ascension, how to have the best death, how the Elohim created this realm. And if I have it correct, this is the same Elohim that was referred to in the Old Testament and has been taken as God for much of the history of religion. And they do say they're on the line with us tonight. So feel free. You can send an email to suzanne@higher-vision.org, and she'll email you back these 70 pages of questions and answers with the Elohim. And we also, just for those of you that are listening, we are also doing this conference call 7 nights a week. On Mondays and Tuesdays, we do a read a channeling, or on Mondays, we occasionally have a live channeling. And on Wednesdays through Sunday, it's kind of a prayer therapy where we work with people on the line who want to send the light to people that are sick, that are going through changes. And many people have had miracles as a result of this and healings, because if we have it right, we have these forces working with us on this line. And as long as we keep our prayer intentions to what could be called the highest good of all concerned, they're willing to participate. Of course, as they said, there's many different factors that come in as to whether something is actually going to happen or not, including whether it's the person's highest good. Thank you. Person's highest good to experience this. Those of you that are on the phone line, you might push *6, because I don't know if that static is coming from somebody's personal phone. Otherwise, we're just going to have to cope with it. Could we get rid of that static, please? Okay. So, on this note, those of you that are listening on the internet, you can do your prayer request silently, because, of course, we can't really add them. And in the future, if you want a prayer request included on this line, you can email us, and we'll add it in future calls. Or you can email us and find out the phone number, and feel free to check in and be one of the people who is actually on the line. And on that note, before I call in the light, is there anyone on the that checked in while I was reading that would like to say their name and their city? Hello. Anyone that checked in that would like to say their name and city?
No. Ron Miller, La Habra, California.
Hi, Ron.
Hi there.
Nice to hear you.
Thank you.
Anna in Berkeley, California.
Anna in Berkeley. Anyone else? Okay. So, this is kind of an invocation to the forces that are positive on the other side. And then, those of you that are listening for the first time, just track it through and participate where you feel called to. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and that any negativity be taken into the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our galaxy through our solar system into the Earth, into the outer layers of the Earth's vibrational field, and through our own bodies, through our own chakra systems, and grounding itself into the center of the Earth. We experience a column of light around us right at this moment, wherever we are, anywhere in the world. And we expand this column of light so that we can, in our imagination, in our creative visualization, see this light energy touching each other, everyone that's on this line, creating a huge ball of light around our country, around our planet. And we invite, right at this moment, those group soul energies who are positive, operating in the highest good of all concerned, in the Christhood energies, to join with us and bring this energy in huge flows from beyond this dimension, through the veil, through each of us, and into the center of the Earth. And in this space, right now, we're going to go through the list of people that are checked into the line and have them put their own prayer requests into the light. Now, it is 10:10, so we have about 15 minutes before we sign off from BBS Radio. We thank everyone who's listening in BBS for sharing this time with us and sharing your own energy. And even though we can't see you, we can feel you and you can feel us. And if you are having that sense, please come back next week. And also feel free to join us on our conference calls that are going on 7 days a week as we hold this energy to the planet. And on that note, I'd like to ask Robert to put into the light whatever he'd like to, for the highest good.
Yes, I'd like to Carol Ann, Gavin, Fiona, Catherine, and baby Shane in the light. Thank you.
Thank you. And Carol?
I'd like to put in the light all seekers that are lost and alone, that they can find their way for the highest good of all concerned. Thank you.
Thanks, Carol. And let me just say that if I call on you and you're new and you feel like passing, that's fine. And, you know, you can check this out as much as you want before, you know, you feel any sense to contribute, only through your own volition. So, Gino.
I'd like to put Wayne, Terry, and Daphne in the light, and also people who are captive, who are held against their will, so they might find peace and also be released. Thank you.
Thank you. And Claudia.
Yes, I would like to put my whole family and all the animals on the planet. Thank you.
Thank you. And Kendra.
I'd like to put AJ, Jacob, Luis, and Everett.
Thank you, Kendra. And Matt.
Yes, I'd like to put myself and the ones like me in a light for the highest good, so that we might make a difference.
Thank you, Matt. Suzanne.
I'd like to send gratitude to
all the higher beings, the Ra, the Elohim, and all the councils that are assisting us at this time. And I would like to ask for the karmic patterns of old to be lifted off of all the peoples of the earth. And I am also asking for prayer for the Middle East and the Iraq-Iran situation. Thank you.
Thank you. And Karen? Are you on the line, Karen? John in Massachusetts.
Yes, hi. I would like to put my mother and father, John and Sophie, my girl Jeannie, our family, and everyone that needs help and assistance in one way or another on this planet.
Thank you, John. Kathy in Tennessee. Are you on, Kathy?
I pass.
Okay. Jackie.
I'd like to send love, light, and healing to everyone listening tonight and to all those who are attempting to be of service to others. And thanks and gratitude to the entities that helped me over the weekend. Thank you.
Thank you. And Diane.
I'd like to put my family in the light. Samuel, Wynn, Daphne, and Terry. I'd like to put Mother Earth in the light and the dolphins and the whales.
Thank you. And Denise, you're probably not on the line, right?
Actually, I'm back.
Okay.
I managed to plug my phone back in. I would like to put my family in the light, myself and my family, and we just spent the weekend together, and it was good, but there's some healing that we could do, too.
Okay.
For that.
And Wesley?
I'd like to put the truth tellers in the light, those who are exposing the fantasies and the lies that are portrayed to us here on the planet, and they're bringing up the light.
And Brian in L.A.? Are you there, Brian? Veronica.
Yes, I'd like to put Sydney, Cynthia, Micah, all in the light, and my gratitude and love and light to the steering committee and all that put together the higher division phone calls here.
Thank you so much.
This is Brian in Los Angeles. Apparently I was muted and didn't realize I had to unmute.
So. Okay. Star 7 unmutes.
I thought we'd been asked to mute at some point. So
you
anyway,
were.
Not to worry, yeah, exactly. My friend Carol.
Okay.
Nikki for her heart murmur and her stomach issues.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Anita for hormone imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Paul. My brother Joe and his family. My friend Lynn. And Kathy.
Thank you, Brian, so much. And Mary Ann in San Diego.
Yes, I'd like to send love and light to everyone on the line. And Anthony and Nathan. Thank you.
And Gary in San Diego.
Yes, also I'd like to send love and light to my children, Anthony, Nathan, Tiffany, their spiritual guides, and also myself and my wife and my prayer garden. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ron, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
God.
Hi, I'd like to send the light.
Go ahead.
I'd like to send the light and healing to my good friend, Francoise, and also Carol from Carol's Place in Fullerton that's in the hospital right now battling with lung cancer, and of course, Wynn and Terry.
Thank you. And Anna in Berkeley.
Yes, I'd like to send light and healing to my friend Amy and to
Anna, speak up.
Healing to everybody who's working in the environment. energy on them.
All right. Thank you so much. And is there anyone else on the line?
Yeah, me.
Oh, Terry.
Yeah.
By the way, just to let everyone know, that was what the channeling I just read was actually brought through by Terry. And she has done, like, really, really amazing work in the stuff we're doing here. So go ahead, Terry.
Yes, I would like to send love and light to everybody out there in the whole world who's secretly wishing somebody would send them the light. I wish that they will really get it and really know that they are loved. Amen.
Thank you.
Ben, this is Francis in Concord, California. I'd like to put the families of Nancy, Jennifer, and Francis into the light for continual healing.
Okay, thank you.
And this is Marlene in Bloomingburg, and I'd like to put the planet and all of its inhabitants in the light, as well as my brother-in-law, Phil, my sister, Lori, my husband, Patrick, and all of our families. Thank you.
Thank you. And Erica? Erica, are you on the line? Or Kurt? Okay, anyone else?
Conrad.
Conrad. Oh, thank you. How did I miss Conrad?
I would like to put, help me with her first name, but John Edwards' wife, who has bone cancer, send love and light to her. And if it's in the good of all concerned, the Elohim to help her heal. Do you have me?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Wayne. Yes,
go
I'd
ahead.
Like to put... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to put Stephen in the light for his overall healing, Nancy Falco, Tommy Falco, and all those online with us tonight. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Daphne?
Daphne, are you still on? I don't think she's on.
Okay, that's all I have.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I'd like to take a moment while we have our energies together, and of course we have those people that are listening on BBS radio, and if we visualize what's going on, we exist on in other dimensions as well as in our body. And so while we're on this line, the parts of us that are in other dimensions are actually communing to some extent, depending on your ability to allow that to occur. As we come together, we become a group energy, and that group energy becomes very powerful. And then we combine with the group energies of the Elohim and the Ra and other positive sources, and then we direct that whole energy towards people, towards circumstances. And the people that mention somebody's name, they can tune into the person through your energy with that person. So it's not magic, it's a little bit magic, but in a sense, it's the way the higher universe works, where things can happen very fast. And so, depending on all things being equal, there's been many, many circumstances. And for those of you that are tuned in the weeks to come, we'll probably have people share some of the experiences they've had as a result of being on this line. We have about 3 minutes left, so I would like to take our energies and just put them towards various planetary things, which gives the group souls more permission to intervene into this realm. So right now, I would like to send that energy to the Middle East. And we see a column of light visualized going over the Middle East to every country in the Middle East, to Egypt, to Israel, to Afghanistan, to Iran, to Iraq, to Kuwait, to Saudi Arabia, and to the leaders of those countries, that they might be touched in their hearts to display the quality of compassion and to see those who they consider their enemies as part of themselves. I'd like to send this light to Washington, D.C. for protection, for the upliftment of our leaders, that it might touch their compassionate parts, and that they might make compassionate decisions, or those who are compassionate, they rise to leadership. We see this light in the halls of Congress, in the Supreme Court, in the Capitol, and we ask this light to beam down to each and every one of you right now who is on this call, that you fill yourself up and project it out to your family, to your friends, to your homes, to your communities, to your cities, to your country, and that right at this moment,
yeah, a couple of masks,
we surround our entire planet with this light. And we ask for the support and help of these group souls in the evolution of our planet and this dimensional shift that's ongoing. And on that note, we invite the people who are listening on BBS to check into the website, higher-vision.org. You'll see a number of links, including to the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. There's another link to a Yahoo group where we post all the channelings that we put up here. And on that note, we'll say goodnight to you. Don, are you on the line? I don't know if he's disconnected us or not. So I'll just continue.